It's time now for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill. Well, Dave Seaton had himself a little adventure earlier in the month. He and some friends all got together and saved a life. Dave's with Hungry Jack Outfitters, and he joins us this morning on the phone to tell us a little bit more about it. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
I understand that moose rescue is something that you are familiar with. Are you a longtime moose rescuer?
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. I have had the opportunity to interact with moose a couple of times. A few years back, I had some moose calves that we had to get out of the water. They had an inattentive mother who was not really doing her job. So, but this one was a moose that actually went through the ice on Hungry Jack Lake.
So, well, the subject of moose social services, we'll just set that aside for the time being. Did you actually see the moose go through the lake? She was coming across Hungry Jack Lake. Did you see her go through, or did you just look out a window and notice that there she was?
Well, actually, I didn't see the moose from my house. Two neighbors, Forrest Parson over at Hungry Jack Lodge and Barb Bodker just down the lake, they were both watching the moose walk across the lake and saw that it went through the ice, and they were the ones that actually instigated the whole operation.
Now, I know a vet who has worked as a wildlife vet and who has warned me in the past that deer are extremely dangerous, and I've heard that moose are extremely dangerous, too. Do you have any trepidation at all about heading out to say, we got to pull this critter out of the lake?
Certainly. When we first saw the moose, it was struggling mightily. Those front hooves were kicking at the edge of the ice, and it was thrashing around, and I wasn't really sure there was going to be much we could do. When we finally got to the site where the moose was, it was apparent that, A, it was a small moose, a yearling, and B, that it was already starting to get pretty hypothermic, and it had pretty much stopped struggling. It was just floating in the water with its head on the edge of the ice. So the risk to personal health and safety was pretty low.
So what are the logistics involved in trying to get a probably maybe close to a 1,000-pound animal out of rotted ice and to safety?
Well, one of the things that's interesting about this whole process was that a number of things came together that, had they not all clicked exactly as they had, it would not have been a successful rescue. First of all, it was a smaller moose. It was a yearling, so it was only about 600 pounds, only 600 pounds. And then the ice really was pretty solid. The day before this occurred, I had drilled a hole off of our dock, and it was 20 inches thick. So this particular moose picked an unfortunate spot that was thin, or the ice was not structurally sound. And when we started going out onto the ice with canoes, and I will mention that we had life jackets on and ice picks and canoes, and there were multiple people there, all of whom are trained in cold water rescue.
So, which is an important point to make, because people might want to do the right thing and might be moved by compassion, but you can't, if it's going to be a success and everybody's going to be safe, you do have to have the right gear, and it helps if you have at least a sense of what you're doing.
Right. I am not currently a member of the volunteer fire department here on the Gunflint Trail, but I had been for the 15 years, and there were several members of the fire department there helping. So we, as a group, had a pretty good feel that it was going to not be a threat to any of us. So back to logistics, we went out onto the ice, and it seemed pretty solid. I actually expected to start busting through at some point, but we never really did, and I was able to stand right at the edge of the hole where the moose was, with 1 foot in the canoe and 1 foot on the ice, and the edge of the hole never broke away while I was on it.
So how did you get her out?
We used tow straps, like you would use to pull a car out of the ditch. And the only thing that we could really do, because she was submerged, the back half of her was submerged, was to get a loop around her neck. And not exactly the best choice, but it was the only alternative that we had. So we had two canoes and two loops and three people, and we were able to get her up just enough that one of her hooves came up, and then we pulled that hoof up sideways, got both front hooves onto the ice, and then we were able to pull horizontally and just slowly inch her up onto the ice.
Is this something that you've had to learn by doing? I mean, it would seem to me that part of rescuing an animal from the ice would be to have a rudimentary idea of what you can tie a rope on and pull on safely.
Yeah, well,
you kind of learn through experience, maybe.
Yeah, it was a learning experience as we were doing it. One of the things that happens in the Gunflint Trail and with our fire department between blowdowns and fires and rescues and search and rescue, we learn to improvise. And as a group, we come up with ideas and think about things and figure it out. So there was a bit of time between seeing the moose go through the ice and actually getting out there and trying to do something. So we were all brainstorming the whole time, and I came up with the idea of using the tow straps in the interest of spreading out the weight and less likely to hurt the moose, because obviously putting anything around an animal's neck is not a good thing, but it really was the only alternative we had.
So you got her onto land, and there's a picture of the moose standing there, and she really does look kind of out of it, but she's sort of looking, you know, more or less fondly at somebody standing next to her. And again, she must have been so exhausted by this time that she wasn't afraid.
Yeah, I actually spoke with a moose biologist a few days ago, and he was saying that that was really more likely shock than any anthropomorphism we might throw on.
Right.
But, so she didn't want to move, and it took us a while to get her to move. And she did fall through again almost immediately, at least her hind legs, and so we had to pull her out one more time. And so we didn't want to leave her out there on the ice, but eventually that's what we had to do, was just walk away, and she then followed us closer to shore and eventually got back onto dry land.
Was there any sense of, geez, we have to get her warm somehow, or was it, we're going to get you off the ice, kid, and you're on your own?
The latter. First of all, you know, moose are, the surface-to-weight ratio on a moose is considerably different from humans. And while she was in the water for probably 45 minutes to an hour, and, you know, that's significant, she was still moving pretty well and able to stand right away. So, and then they have the hollow fur. So they're built for cold a little better than humans. Towards the end, she was moving around pretty well, so I feel like she was doing as much as she could. She didn't really want us near her, and she didn't really want us to do anything helping-wise. So, you know, we just decided to let things go from there.
Take your cue from that. One of our commentators, Laura Erickson, talked recently in a program about how, as humans, we deal differently with animals as a collective. For example, we might, you know, hunt deer in a herd of deer, or you know, we hunt pigeons or different waterfowl, you know, as a group, and yet we have a sense. When there is an individual animal, we make a connection and we want to try to do something to help. Is that what you have found? Was there a thought amongst the people that you know that let nature take its course? You know, she's fallen through the ice. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Right. Well, certainly that was one of the alternatives on the table, was just to not do anything, because we didn't want to risk our lives too. And this particular moose lived right behind our property here on Hungry Jack Lake most of the winter, at least we think so. There were tracks of a mother and calf all winter long. We never actually saw them. But they've been in the neighborhood for a while. So this particular moose is a neighbor, and so there's a little bit of a relationship there. Certainly, moose out there in the wild are certainly a game species and all of that sort of thing, but on the Gunflint Trail, at least, we look at moose on the hoof alive and in view of people as a very, very valuable thing, and not only to us personally, but to the economy. So doing anything that we could have done to help this one moose was good for everybody.
Well, Dave, she's lucky, and we're lucky, those of us who enjoy traveling to the Gunflint Trail, traveling to the North Country, and still hoping to see a moose in the wild. The only one I've ever seen in the wild was in a sugar beet field near Fargo, believe it or not. But thank heavens that you were there and the other folks were there and that you jumped into action and you knew exactly what to do. And thanks, Dave, so much for taking some time for us this morning.
Thank you for interest in my story.
Dave Seaton is with Hungry Jack Outfitters, and he and a group of friends and neighbors rescued a young moose earlier this month who had fallen through the ice. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible in part by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items, and Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Ports supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors.